This is an interesting selection in our lectionary, this Matthean text. And one of the reasons it is interesting is that the last five verses of it are not found in Luke's parallel gospel. No, the guy who shows up without the wedding garment never even makes an appearance in Luke's gospel. And maybe that's easier for us because when we think of weddings and parties and festivities and feasts, we don't like to think of somebody who is not dressed appropriately being thrown out into the outer darkness. It just does not seem cricket in our way of thinking about the rules of the kingdom. And indeed, these were, we believe, two entirely separate parables that got knit together for some reason now lost to the mists of history. Now, lest you think I'm just trying to weasel out of some work, we're going to actually deal with the two together. Now, in the days of yore, when kings had a royal banquet, there was a very specific guest list. They didn't just go out and invite everybody, as we saw in the second part of, or in the resulting part of the first parable. We'll clear all that up. It was a very specific list of who was invited. And I want you to think of who that might have been. In the king's kingdom, to invite people to the wedding, it wasn't just for the sake of having a party. No, you brought in your closest advisors. You brought in people to whom you owed favors. You brought in the people who were perhaps royalty of other nations, so that, as it used to be said, you keep your friends close and your enemies closer. It was a very carefully thought out guest list, not unlike the protocols which the White House has to observe whenever a state dinner is planned. You don't just invite people. No, you decide who's going to sit next to whom, and you're going to decide which of the guests who come in to the parlor need to first be frisked for weapons. Those were really the stakes back in that day. And so in our first instance, the king sends out this well-thought-out set of invitations. Oh, now, they didn't just show up in the mail. No, this had been announced perhaps for a year in advance. And these people, well, they've heard the advance warning. They've gotten the fur-lined invitation in the mail. All that nice calligraphy with their name spelled perfectly. And what do they decide? Well, they decide, I got better things to do. I got a 60-foot houseboat with my name on it. I'm not going to no stupid wedding. No, I don't like that king much anyway. So what does the king do? He says, go out and invite everybody. Go out and invite everybody, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the beautiful, and bring them all in. And the scripture says, and the wedding hall was filled. Except there was another dark shadow in there. Remember, some of the invitees took his slaves and mishandled them. Some of them killed them. You don't do well to tick off a king. Your life will not be long in the land to which the Lord has given you. And so the king sends out his soldiers, and they burn their towns, slaughter men, women, children, leave not a trace. Very similar to what happened last Saturday in Israel. You see, we really haven't changed much. Our moral code, though often high and vaunted, has not advanced much beyond that of the cave people. This was, and sadly is still, a way of doing warfare. And so now he sends out his list and he brings in the people, and everybody comes, and everybody's happy, and everybody's got on their finest wedding robe. Now, when you got invited to the king's banquet, you were issued a robe. You may not have known that. That was basic equipment list for attending a wedding at the palace. You wore a wedding garment which the king had specially prepared for you. And you wore it for two reasons. One, because you were an honored guest. And secondly, the king didn't want anybody showing up in their own clothes and upstaging the royal couple. Everybody's got to look kind of sort of somewhat alike. So when the bride and the groom come in, everybody can go, ooh, and ah, and wonderful. Hence the beautiful wedding gowns we have these days, where the bride is resplendent and the groom just sits there shuffling his feet in a black tux. Well, one guy didn't wear his robe. Didn't wear it. I don't have to wear a robe if I don't want to. I can show up however I particularly want. Some years back, my oldest son, Mac, was invited to pay a visit to the home of one of our exchange students whom we'd had from Germany. And Mac was going to spend most of the summer there in Germany as the guest of our exchange student and his family. And he had to go and get a passport. Now, we called this the summer of Mac's rebellion. I won't go into all of the details, but suffice it to say that when we were going to get his picture made for his passport, he looked like something out of an ISIS recruitment poster. Long hair, stringy beard, a t-shirt on that was four sizes too small, baggy pants with one of those chain wallets hanging down to here. And I took him aside and I said, Mac, you know, you're going to another nation. You're going as a representative of the United States of America, which will give you a passport. And that's not a problem. The problem might be on the other end of the airplane flight, because you see, Germany, and for that matter, every other country in the world, has the right to deny you access based upon your appearance as a terrorist. And Max said, that's just not fair. You know how 16-year-old males can be. That's just not fair. They should like me for what I am. I said, and they may well after they get to know you in a week or two. But on first appearances, believe me, son, it's very fair. And also, I will point out to you that the police in Germany carry automatic weapons. So, That's the same dynamic that's happening here with this gentleman. He just didn't show up. Now, what are some of the theological issues here? Well, the first, of course, we all recognize that God is the king, the father in this particular set of parables. And God has invited, in the first instance, we're not surprised, that God has invited the ones whom he appointed as leaders in Israel. The chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the people who had all the right clothing on, the people who studied and exercised leadership over the people. But in the fullness of time, they kind of lost a sense of what their calling was. And so Jesus says in this parable, the first part, he says they didn't want to come. They didn't think they needed to. They figured they were already good enough by virtue of where they stood in the royal pecking order of things. And so they didn't show up. In fact, it was worse than not showing up. They slaughtered the prophets, the judges, the ones who dared to question their leadership. They took them out, they manhandled them, and got rid of them. C.F. John the Baptist, C.F. Elijah, Elisha, all of them mistreated, some of them killed. Nehemiah, Esther, all those great figures of the Bible had run-ins with the established leaders of the people. And so God shows them what for. They too are dealt with in a very summary fashion, shall we say. And so God goes out and he expands the invitation to all the people, the good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly. Says everybody's welcome now. Those chief priests and scribes and Pharisees, they were leading you down the primrose path and lining their own pockets. And I'm going to invite everybody I love. And so everybody comes. This is where we are these days after the covenant of grace. We're all welcome into the kingdom of God. And we're all clothed with the righteousness of the kingdom, even though we may not see it very often. It's there. Because we all know we have to put on the righteousness of God to be welcome to the banquet of the Lamb. We have to be in that relationship with God that God gives us freely. But you know, there's always one person, usually more than one, but there's always one person who thinks they don't have to obey the rules. They don't have to honor the relationship. They don't have to find themselves in obedience to anybody. Oh, I can just get in any way I want to. I can just wear whatever I want to the wedding. It's okay. Look at everybody else getting all dressed up. I don't have to do that. I'm good enough on my own. Well, we saw what happened to that person, didn't we? Yeah. Would it have been so hard to just accept the gift of the robe and put it on? My own sense of such as this is that some people, well, as a cousin of mine once said, some people would complain if you hung them with a new rope. Hung or hanged them, I'm not sure. We had that discussion in Sunday school this morning. Someone was hanged for a horse thief, And the surviving widow told the child, he was not hanged. Your father was not a tapestry. He was hung. Did I get it right? Well, I'm not sure. I was an English major. I still can't get lie and laid and all that kind of stuff straight. Fact of the matter is, God calls us into relationship with him and with each other. And God offers us the gift of righteousness by virtue of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we do well to accept that gift and to glory in that gift and not think that we're too good to receive that gift. It is an imperative to rejoice that has been given to us. Rejoice in the love of God for all of his children. Rejoice in the knowledge that God has acted to save us from ourselves, and rejoice in the knowledge that God will always be there for us. And guess what? All we have to do is show up. Show up with a robe that's already been measured for us, that fits perfectly and is absolutely gorgeous. It doesn't get any better than that. I suppose that I feel sorry for that guy who got thrown out into the outer darkness. I suppose I feel sorry for those invitees in the first part who were slaughtered and thrown out. But I'm more taken with those of us who are the average, run-of-the-mill, struggling to get by Christian kind of folk who God thinks enough of to invite us to the feast. The good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, we're all somewhere in there. And maybe we even change categories with the passing of each day. But God loves us still. And so, in his name, I bid you welcome to the party. Don't forget, there is just a little bit of a dress code. Let us pray. And so with grateful hearts, we come before you, O Lord, knowing that you have called us to be your children in this your place. Help us to respond with gratitude and love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.